Hello, my dear brethren. It's a blessing, a huge blessing to be here again with you. And of course, we are going today to have a message about some things that probably we never heard before, because we're gonna maybe go deep in a phrase we can say that is in Hebrew. Okay, as we know, a lot of people from Israel, they have different kind of different kind of thinking, or maybe they understand different things to have daily in their lives, but of course there's some things that in the Bible, as we can remember, God told them all. If we go back in the days of Moses, of all the prophets and all that time, there are some things that they thought it was okay, but they were not, So, but if whatever they are doing is based in the Bible, of course, that is something that we need to understand. If we want to do a deep research about it, and today we're going to see, learn, hear, and listen about a phrase. There's some phrase, a specific phrase, that is in the Bible, but Jewish people says, in a very important way. So maybe, I don't know, if you know somebody from Israel, I know some of them, they have before, of course, they go and eat, they do some praying, and they wash their hands, those kind of things, and even before the Sabbath comes, at the sunset of Friday. So there's some specific things that they do. And of course, one of those things is a very important thing that today we're going to see and go deeper, because I think it's very important to understand something about our God, our Creator, that Jewish people knows, and some of them, maybe not all, but some of them say when they have different trials in life. But before we go there, I just wanted to read one phrase. There's some sentences specific about what God he has done with us all through our lives, and then I want to go there specifically in that phrase in Hebrew, because we're going to understand what that means, what that really means, and besides that, is going to probably change your point of view or your understanding in some of the situations that maybe you and I are going through right now. So this is a small part that I found when I was doing some research about it. It says specifically and directly like this: before you existed, he was already God. When you were born, he was still God. In the days of joy, he was God. In the nights of tears, he was still God. And when our story on this earth comes to an end, he will continue to be God. That's why we can rest today. That's why we can have that faith in our Creator, because he has been, He is and he will be God, our eternal God. So let's go to the first scripture that is the one that is based this this message of today. So join me in the Deuteronomy 4 and the chapter 4 and the verse 35. Chapter 4 and verse 35. So to you it was shown that you might know that the Eternal is God. There is no one else besides him. Just put attention to this final part of this verse. Okay? Follow me a little bit further to Deuteronomy 4. And in the same chapter, but let's go to the verse 39. Let's go to the Deuteronomy 4, verse 39. Know therefore today, and take it to heart, that the Eternal is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. There are moments in life when all of us, and surely I can say really, literally, absolutely all of us ask the same questions. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where are you from? Where do you live? Where do you work? What do you do for a living? What do you do? What church? If you go to the Church of God Ministries of USA, if you go to the Church of God Ministries of any other part of the world, it doesn't matter that we absolutely, all of us, we ask the same questions. Why did I lose that job? Why did that relationship come to an end? Why did that person I loved so much have to die? Why did I get sick? Why did God allow this suffering, affliction, or pain? Why did some doors close while others never even open? Why me? Why did this happen to me? And if we are really honest, many times those questions don't have immediate answers. We live in a society that wants to understand everything. We want an explanation for every event that happens in this world. Whatever thing happens in your life or in other lives, you want an explanation. We want an explanation about it. And that's not how really God works. Sometimes, or maybe all the time, probably, we want to know the why before we can accept the what for. But the Bible teaches us something wonderful. There are times when God doesn't answer our questions first. Instead, he first reveals who he is. Before explaining his ways to us, he shows us his character. Before telling us why he allowed a certain trial, he reminds us who rules the universe. You know what I'm trying to say? Do you understand now where I'm trying to go right now? And that is where we find one of the most profound expressions in all of Scripture. Ein od milvado. That's in Hebrew. And if we translate that in the translation to English, is there is no one besides him. So for the ones that write notes and write down in your notebook or something, the title of this message is Ein Od Milvado. I'm gonna tell you letter by letter. E-I-N-O-D M-I-L-V-A-D-O. Ein Od Milvado. There is no one besides him. Besides him. And the purpose, of course, that is that I pretend in this message for everybody that is listening to it or watching this video, is that we really keep in our heart, mind, and soul that everything that happens in our lives, God is in control of that. But besides that, there is nobody, no one, anybody, anyone besides him. There is no other authority. There is no other sovereign. There is no other God. There is no one else who governs history. There is no one else who can ultimately thwart his plans. There is no one else who knows the end from the beginning. Nobody can do that. Only God the Father and God the Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our Holy Almighty Father. This phrase, Ein Od Milvado, does not teach that we live under a blind faith or like that God approves for evil, for example. That doesn't mean that. The Bible shows us that human beings make choices and are responsible for those choices. However, Scriptures also teaches that no human decision can remove God from his throne. He remains sovereign. And he can work even in the middle of pain. I really know that. Surely you really know that. God can work in the middle of pain to accomplish his purposes. When we understand this, our hearts find rest. And please just put attention to the following. Why is that? Why is that our hearts can find rest? Because peace does not come from understanding every answer. Peace comes from knowing who is in control. God is still sitting in the throne. Like even Moses understood at that time, back in the days of the Moses, when he was with all the Israel people from that time, Moses spoke these follow words at the end of a long journey. Israel had witnessed extraordinary miracles.
Sorry.
They had seen the Red Sea part. We don't understand that. Maybe we can go to the beach and we can like swim in the ocean, but do we really understand what happened that day? Not at all. But that really, really happened because the Bible says, and because the Bible is the word of God. Another thing that they went through is that they had eaten manna from heaven. Can you imagine that? Like, okay, so what are we going to eat today? Okay, at the breakfast, we're going to have like manna with maybe some other, like mixed with some other thing that they can find over there. Or maybe we're going to have for lunch, we're going to have manna with some other vegetables that we can find in the ground, you know. Not grass for sure, but maybe like at dinner, we're going to have manna. Like every single day they have manna. And it was falling from heaven. We don't understand that. I mean, we need to work to have money so we can go to the supermarket, we can go to Walmart, to whatever place that we can go to buy some groceries, and then we can eat that food. Or as simple as go to a restaurant, we can go there, pay for whatever meal that we want to eat, and we will eat it. It was so different at that time. Remember, 40 years that Moses was there at the desert with all the Israel people. They had seen even water, as you remember, they had seen even water come out of the rock. They had experienced too, this is very important, God's discipline. They had wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. They had experienced moments of obedience and as well as moments of rebellion. After all of that, Moses didn't give them a philosophy for life, like something that he might think or he was thinking or something. He gave them an eternal truth. The eternal is God, and there is no one besides him. Again, Ein Od Milvado. It is as if he were saying, after everything we have been through, this is the conclusion. God never stopped being in control. Perhaps today, when you look back over your own story, you can remember moments when you thought that God was far away. And yet, when you look back now, you realize that he never abandoned you. Maybe you didn't understand his ways that moment, but he was already directing your steps. Follow me to the next scripture. Let's go to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 4, chapter 46 and verse 9 and 10. Follow me, please. Let's see here. We're going together there. Isaiah 46 and verse 9 and 10. Okay. So it says, I am God and there is no other. My purpose shall stand, and I will accomplish all that I please. Our God does not improvise. He never says, Whoa, I didn't see that coming. You know what I mean? He never says phrases like that or sentences like that. He, like, nothing takes him by surprise. Nothing. He knows what you and I are thinking. He knows what we are going to even, like, try to think in a few tenths of a second. He's God. He's our creator. He's the Almighty God. Nothing escapes his knowledge. Nothing is outside his authority. And when the world seems completely out of control, like we are in these days, heaven is still perfect governed. And that truth should bring peace to our hearts. So, God was in your past, he is right now in your present, and he will be in your future. But we're going to try to separate right now past, present, and future. You know? So, like, sometimes many people, like, they live, we can say, like, as a prisoners of their past. Like they all the time, like they are thinking, if only I had made a different decision of this and that, of this business, of my family, of whatever situation of the past. Like some other people says, like if only I hadn't made that mistake, or if only that person hadn't hurt me, for example, or I mean all those kind of things or thoughts. Like, can you imagine what Joseph were, like, what he was thinking? What was thinking with when he was sold by his own brothers? Like, they were 12, remember? And, well, at that time, it was, like, he was the one, the preferred one from his father. And of course, the other one were jealous. But can you only think that your brother or sister, like, try even to sell you, or maybe even, like, do some harm or to you or hurt you? Like, not in the way that when we were, like, kids, like, I push you and we're playing and all those things. That was some serious thing. He became, after that, he became a slave. He was false accused too. So he was unjustly in prison. For years, maybe Joseph could thought, like, it seemed as far that God was silent. Do you know what I mean? If he probably could thought that. But the Bible says another thing. And yet, at the end of the story, Joseph made one of the most extraordinary statements in the Bible. Let's go to Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis, chapter 50. Genesis 50 and the verse 20 at the end of the book of Genesis. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Let's notice something very important here. Joseph did not say that evil was good. He did not justify his brother's sin. He didn't do that. They were responsible for their actions. But God was so much greater than that he took what had been intended to destroy Joseph and turn it into the means by which thousands of people will be saved. And that, my dear brethren, that is what our God does all the time. Any harm, anything that evil wants to do to you and to me, sometimes it really happens. But God is all the time with us, and he turns that to maybe big blessings after that. Or maybe some other things. Maybe he opens doors that probably were closed for a long time. And after the pain, the life trial, and all the things that happened to you and to me, he starts to give you blessings, or your family, or the people around you. So God does not always prevent the pain, but he never wastes the pain. You know what I'm trying to say? Is every tear can become an instrument of his purpose. Perhaps today you can also look back and say, I didn't understand why I lost that job, probably. I didn't understand why that door is closed. I didn't understand that illness. Or maybe you thought, or maybe you said, I didn't understand that trial, any kind of trial you were before. But now, I can see that God was rewriting a greater story. Maybe you can say that now. And we're going again back to the same phrase. Ein od milvado. There is no one besides him. So God is also in your present, as I said before. So the past is gone. The future has not yet arrived. But the present can hurt sometimes. Some people listening to this message may be going through an illness right now. Or maybe you have lost somebody of your family. Or maybe something is like going through your mind, like not good. Probably other people are struggling financially. Probably others are dealing with family problems. Others have been praying for years for a child, probably, or for a marriage, or for an answer that seems to never come. And it is precisely there that God says, come with me and let's go to Isaiah. Chapter 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41:10. Let me see. Okay. So there God says to you and to me, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Notice something very important and special. Notice that God does not promise us a life without storms. He promises his presence in the middle of them. You remember, we're not going there, but probably you remember the Psalm 23. And it starts, or it says in some part, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and there goes like that, okay? But it does, in that psalm, it doesn't say, even though there is never a valley, the valley exists. That's a fact. The pain exists. The trials exist. But the shepherd is also there. And the shepherd never abandons his sheep. A good shepherd never kicks out from their group, you know, their circle, a sheep. The good shepherd helps a sheep that makes mistakes or have made some mistakes. The good shepherd don't throw out, don't forget about one of the 100 sheep that he has on charge. God is the best. God and Jesus Christ, they are the best shepherds of eternity. I mean, they are always there for you and for me. They have been there, and they will be always there for you and for me. We are the ones that we make probably, or well, without the probably, we make bad decisions. So if we make bad decisions, we cannot wait, or we cannot expect good results, you know. So the shepherd never abandons his sheep. So when you don't understand the present, just remember, Ein of Milvado. When illness comes, Ein of Milvado. When a door closes, Ein of Milvado. When an answer to a prayer seems delayed, Ein of Milvado. When the fears tries to take control of you. What? Yeah. You said it in your mind right now. Ein od milvado. There is no one besides him. So God is already in your future. Surely we live one day at a time. But God sees the entire story about you and your life and about me. We walk by faith. He walks in certainty. We're not going there, but Matthew 6 reminds us that we should not live consumed by anxiety. Why is that? Because our Heavenly Father knows what we need. So let's go to the next scripture. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Let's go together there. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. It doesn't say that everything is good or everything will be good. Like, oh yeah, we have a saying here in Guatemala or probably in Latin America. I don't really know if there's other country that says that, but we have a saying here that that sometimes says, do you want to live like a life of roses? You know, like trying to, not like the Bon Jovi song, like Bed of Roses, you know, but something like that, you know, like something soft, something smooth, something like, oh yeah, I don't worry about anything. I mean, that's not a Christian life. It's the truth. We need to grow. We need to understand a lot of things when we go to trials. When we go through life trials. So we have that saying that, like, sometimes people like says, oh, like the questions that I said at the beginning of the message, like, why me? So why this happening to my family and whatever and this and that. So it's better not to have a life of roses. Really, it's better. Humanly, we don't want difficult situation, life trials, or illnesses, or we don't want anything of that for us and for our children, for our spouses, you know, like wife or husband or whatever, people from your family or our family. But that's how God works. And we have to accept that. Like I said before, it doesn't say everything will be good. It says that God can cause everything to work together for good. That's a very different thing. That really changed our perspective. Because the future is not in the hands of chance. You know, like, no. I'm going to see what happens, or, oh yeah, it happens because, I don't know, it's those kind of empty thoughts. Our lives are not in the hands of luck, you know, like good luck, like some people believe in those kind of things. It's not the truly Christian life. It's not like that. It is not ultimately in the hands of the people. It is in the hands of the eternal God. And if the future is in His hands, then we can walk forward with confidence, with faith. Like, we know that everything that will happen will be because of God's will. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. And what it mentions to us, it says, trust in the eternal, your God, with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. Our natural tendency is to want to understand before we trust. That's like human way to see it or understand it. But faith works to the other way around. First, we trust. That's the difference. That's the big difference. So we first trust, and then God shows us His faithfulness. We may never completely understand some things in this life. in this life, our lives and in this life. But we can live with the certainty that God never stops being good, just, holy, and faithful. He never loses control. He is never late. He never forgets a prayer. He never abandons his children. Perhaps someone is listening to this message right now while carrying guilt from the past. But let me say to you, God can restore you. Perhaps someone is living through a present filled with uncertainty. And let me tell you, God is still with you. Another example, perhaps someone is afraid of the future. There are some people that are afraid of the future because they don't know what will happen to them or to their loved ones. But let me tell you, God is already there. Yeah, as simple as that. So today, don't put your trust in your circumstances. Don't put your trust in people. Don't do that. Don't put your trust in money. Don't do that at all. Don't put your trust in your own strength. Just put your trust in the one about whom Scripture says, there is no one besides him. Okay, let's go together. Ein od milvado. There is no one besides him. So the conclusion of this message that we are ending right now is like, we can think like when you finish probably like listening or watching this message or this video, your problems may not have disappeared. The illness probably may still be there. Your bank account may not have changed. The diagnosis may still be the same. But if something needs to change today, let it be your heart. Because true peace does not mean that every circumstance is perfect. True peace means knowing that the God who created the heavens and the earth still rules the universe. And he also rules over your life and my life. We may never have answer or answers to every question on this side of eternity. You know what I'm trying to say with this. We're going through. We hope to be there. We are working to be there in the kingdom of God and to be eternal, because he's promised. He promised that to us. And we know that he also rules over, like I said, your and my life. So he governs everything in the universe. We may never have answer, like I said, to any type of question that even we can have in the future. But of course, we can live with an unshakable conviction. And what is that? Let's go together. Ein od milvado. There is no one besides him. He was in your yesterday. He sustains your today. And he already knows your tomorrow. Like the example of Moses that I mentioned before. If he opened the Red Sea, he can make a way where you cannot see one today. If he sustained Joseph in prison, he can sustain you in your trial. If he was with Daniel in the lion's den, he can also walk with you through your darkest nights. If he strengthened Paul through prisons, shipwrecks, and persecution, he can also give you the strength to persevere. And above all, remember that God's greatest act of love was sending the promised Messiah to bring their reconciliation, hope, and life to those who believe in him. He sent his only son, God the Son. He became human here. He lived all through the years that he lived on earth because of you and because of me. And he suffered, he died, and everything that happened, it was the same because of you and because of me. That hope reminds us that our confidence does not depend on changing circumstances, but in the eternal God, for sure, who always keeps his promises. So when fear knocks, and this is very important that we think about it, when fear knocks on your door, answer with faith. Ein od milvado. When tears cloud your eyes, answer with faith. Ein od milvado. When you don't understand the path ahead, answer to yourself with faith. Ein od milvado. And when the day comes, when you look back and see your entire story, you will be able to say with gratitude the following. Lord, there were moments I did not understand. There were nights when I thought you were silent. There were paths that seemed to make no sense. But today, I recognize that you never left your throne. That you never lost control. You never abandoned me. You never abandoned me, God. You were God when I cried. You were God when I laughed. You were God when I fell. You were God when you lifted me up. You were God, and you are God today. And you will remain God for all the eternity. Because this is the great truth of Scripture. The truth that sustained Abraham, that sustained Moses, David, Joseph, Daniel, the prophets, and the apostles, and all of the people that says in the Bible. And the same truth that can sustain our lives is the truth that they believed those days, that time. The same truth that sustain our lives is Ein Ol Milvado. There is no one besides him. Please join me in prayer. Our Lord, our dear Father, we are so grateful with you because you have given us a lot of blessings all through this week and all through our lives. It doesn't matter what age we are, if we are children, if we are young people, if we are adults, if we are people like any age that we can have. We are so grateful with you, Father, because you are with us, you bless us, and you allow life trials and difficulties in our lives with one purpose. With the purpose that we need to understand, because it's different for each one of us. So thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you for everything, our Almighty God. And that we ask the blessings too of the meal, the potluck, or the food that we're going to have after this message. Please bless all the people that cook it, and bless the hands that gave all the opportunity to have this food and these meals. Thank you for all our loved ones. You know, all through this week and through all the recent situations that are going through around the world and around our lives and around the lives of our brethren and our loved ones. Please send angels every single time, every single day to take care of us, because we are just humans. We depend on you, 100% on you. So we ask your blessings, your protection, and everything that you can give us, everything that you want to give us. We will receive it, because we know and understand that there is no one besides you. Thank you very much for everything, and for everything that you have given us before, that you are giving us today, and everything that you will give us in our uncertain future. But you know, we know that our future is in your hands. Everything I ask this, and we ask this in the name, the holy name of our Lord, our Savior, our Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.